Our scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 13. A wise child loves discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of their words, good persons eat good things. But the desire of the treacherous is for wrongdoing. Those who guard their mouths preserve their lives. Those who open wide their lips come to ruin. The appetite of the lazy craves and gets nothing, while the appetite of the diligent is richly supplied. The righteous hate falsehood, but the wicked act shamefully and disgracefully. Righteousness guards one whose way is upright, but sin overthrows the wicked. Some pretend to be rich, yet have nothing. Others pretend to be poor, yet have great wealth. Wealth is a ransom for a person's life, but a poor person pays no attention to a rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. By insolence, the empty-handed person makes strife, but wisdom is with those who take advice. Wealth hastily gotten will dwindle, but those who gather little by little will increase it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Those who despise a word bring destruction on themselves, but those who respect a command will be rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, so that one may avoid the snares of death. A good sense wins favor, but the way of the faithless is to their ruin. The clever do all things intelligently, but the fool plays folly. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So when I was 17, when I was a senior in high school, I was in this class, this workplace, intro to the workplace class. And if you took this class, you had to have a part-time job. I know a lot of you kids don't work these days. Okay. Shots fired already. I know a lot of you kids don't drive these days. A lot of y'all are like, oh, I'll get my license when I get it. Like, I had wheels when I was 15 years old. That's a different story. So when I was 17, I was in this class. Had to have a part-time job. But part of the main perk of it, the reason we all took this class, was for early release. If you were in this class, you could leave at 1 p.m. every day to go to work, right? But they didn't check your schedule. So I worked on the weekends, sometimes, you know, a couple nights a week, but we all just left to just hang out, right? And this class, we had to like reflect on things we were learning in work, which means we all made stuff up to talk about, to make the teacher happy, right? And we did it so we could leave. It was a blow-off class, right? And the teacher, I really liked the teacher of this class. So I would like try and help her out and like try and like get into it and get others to be into it. Like, no, guys, I think this worksheet's really great. I think it's really interesting stuff, right? But everyone was like, boo, like this stinks. This conference happens in Corpus Christi. We go to this conference, and Corpus Christi is like one of the beaches in Texas, and so a lot of us blow off the conference to go to the beach. And that night in the hotel room was a bunch of guys that I didn't really fit in with, hanging out in my hotel room, and because of the roommate that I had, and they're all making fun of this teacher. And they're like, this teacher's terrible. Like, she thinks this class is so great. Like, doesn't she know we only took this class for early release? And I'm like, yeah, totally, because I'm trying to fit in, right? And they're like, Colin, you can't actually like this teacher, right? She's terrible. Me, wanting to fit in, I'm like, yeah, I guess, like, she's not so great. And they're like, yeah, yeah, like, come on, tell us what you really think about her. And I'm like, well, like, the worksheets are pretty lame. And they're like, yeah, the worksheets are terrible. And I'm like, and what's up with all the lime green? Like, what are you, a highlighter? And I'm doing, like, C-level comedy to try and fit in with these guys. And they're like, yeah, and they're loving it. And I'm going, and I start cooking, and I, like, overdo it, right? Griping on this teacher. And for the first time in my life, I have a group of people in the palm of my hand, probably the last time. And they're agreeing with me, and they're nodding their heads, and they're like, yes, Colin hates her too, this is great. And there's a knock on the door of my hotel room. And I go to the door, and I open the door, this is a true story, and it's my teacher. and she's in tears. And she says to me, I need you to know that your voice is very loud and that you probably shouldn't speak so loudly. And she walks away. And I felt 2 feet tall. And I close the door, and all these guys burst out laughing, right? Making fun of her even more. And I felt so bad in this moment. True regret. Truly regretted saying anything, giving in to the peer pressure of this moment. A lot of these proverbs, as you listen to them, have a theme that connects them, right? What does it mean to speak wisely? What does it mean to remain quiet? What does it mean to have wisdom in our words? Are we open to words of advice? Are all of the words that we use guided by the word of God, shaped by the word of God? All questions of wisdom. Now, some of you are wondering, Colin, what gives you authority to preach this sermon? My wife was with us at 9:45. It was definitely a question that was on her heart, I could tell, throughout the whole sermon. And I think it's a good question, right? But as some of the preachers in the room know, we preach the sermons we need to hear, right? And this is one I need to hear. I'm loose with my words, often. And so this is one for me. I want to pull out a handful of these proverbs that we just read. I mentioned in the first sermon in this series that the medieval monks talked about chewing on scripture, kind of morsel by morsel. I'm just going to throw some of these proverbs at you, and I want us to just chew on these a little bit. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, if you would, this morning, and just hear these. I'm going to read these from the Message, so they're going to sound a little bit different from what we just heard. Intelligent children listen to their parents. Foolish children do their own thing. Now, parents, we're keeping our eyes closed. We're not looking at our kids. The good acquire a taste for helpful conversation. Bullies push and shove their way through life. Careful words make for a careful life. Careless talk can ruin everything. A good person hates false talk. A bad person wallows in gibberish. A God-loyal life keeps you on track. Sin dumps the wicked in the ditch. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord, but wise men and women listen to each other's counsel. Ignore the word and suffer. Honor God's commands and grow rich. You can open your eyes. You hear this theme, wise living, wise speaking, it requires trust. It requires a word that my generation doesn't love, obedience. It requires obedience. This is the starting point for the sages' curriculum, the sages that put together the Proverbs. We're in chapter 13 here. You go back to chapter 1, verse 8, first seven verses are introduction. Verse 8, the first word of the Proverbs is Shema. Hear, listen, obey. Shema, my child, to the discipline of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. We are not good as a culture at Shema, at listening, at hearing, or at obeying. We are good at speaking, right? Like me in the hotel room, we often mistake confidence for wisdom, right? We listen to those who are speaking loudly and with authority, but are those voices wise? Or do they simply have our attentions? We're conditioned to speak, right? To post your thoughts, to tweet your reflections, to share a picture, but it's okay if something in that picture can tell us something about your opinions or your stance or your world view. And we surround ourselves with these echo chambers, trying to fit in, like me in the hotel room. And the louder the voices around you get as they nod their head and as they laugh and they like and they comment, we start to speak loudly and more often. We get kind of this false sense of wisdom as those around us start to pull us in and we feel like we're fitting in. And then all of a sudden, we're filled with this kind of skewed wisdom, which gives us this lack of self-awareness. And slowly, over time, we start to become know-it-alls, which makes humility and obedience and hearing very difficult. One of my favorite writers of the Old Testament, about the Old Testament, Ellen Davis, she talks about this difficulty with obedience that we as a culture have. She says that suspicion has been elevated to the state of a hermeneutic, a basic principle of interpretation. We live and operate with a hermeneutic of suspicion. And she says that suspicion can be healthy and is often necessary for correcting the system, but the insight of the sages is that spiritual growth requires trust above all. Their advice to us is this: find someone further along than you, a mother or father in the faith. And when you find someone whose guidance you can accept for at least this stage of your journey towards God, then lean forward, listen intently, and obey. Listen to the words of the wise. Listen to the word of God. Sit at the feet of the wise and sit at the feet of God. So let's start with the words of the wise. The translators of the Proverbs call this section walking with the wise. Walking with the wise. Find someone, as Ellen Davis says, who is further along than you in the journey of God, and then bend your knee. Lean forward, listen, obey, Shema. Maybe for you that's a parent. Maybe for you that's a mentor or a boss that you really admire, that you really trust, a teacher, a coach, a friend. My hope for my son is that that is me and my wife. My son has been getting, he's five, he's been getting more into games, and we've been playing a lot of Guess Who recently. Any fans of Guess Who? You remember this game? It's basically Battleship, but with people's faces. And you're trying, you pick one, and you're trying to identify your opponent's pick before they identify yours, right? You ask questions about gender and facial hair, and if they're wearing glasses, whatever is unique about their face, and you're trying to figure this out. And my son's kind of getting how to do it. So I'm playing with him recently. He says, okay, I'll go first. First question, is your person wearing shorts? So these are portraits, faces of everyone. And so I say to him, I said, let me give you some advice. This question is not going to help you. It's not going to help you identify. And he looks at me and he goes, Dad, answer the question. Is your person wearing shorts? So I look at my board and I'm like, I'm only seeing faces here, so no. They're not wearing shorts. And he goes, okay, thank you. And then he looks at his board and proceeds to close none of the tiles, right? Because it doesn't help him. And then I say to him, does your person have a beard? It's a great first question. And he says to me, no. They don't have a beard, but they do have a mustache. So he says to me, there's one person on the board with a mustache. So after one question, I know who his person is. I can sink his battleship. And for 10 minutes, I sit there pretending like I don't know so that he can win, right? I wanted him to take my advice, and I wanted him to speak less about the mustache so that I could help him win. Let that sink in. I wanted him to take my advice so I could help him win. Do you have anyone like that in your life whose advice you can actually listen to, whose wisdom makes you think more and speak less? Is there anyone in your life that you allow yourself to sit at the feet of and soak up their wisdom like a sponge so that your words might be more wise, so that you might be more wise? Someone who you can meet with and sit with and not get defensive and not say, yeah, I know, but like you misinterpreted what I was doing and what I meant by, are you wearing shorts, is are you not wearing pants? And it's like, dude, this isn't helpful. And I wanna tell you why. The Proverbs say, arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord, but wise women and men listen to each other's counsel. This is what the Word of God is saying to us this morning. This is what it means for us to listen at the feet of the sages, the ancient Israelite sages who put this together, to sit at the feet of God. I said it at the beginning of this series, the definition of wisdom, according to Ellen Davis, is the sweet fruit of intimacy with God. Wisdom is the sweet fruit of intimacy with God. And these Proverbs, as the Word of God, are a pathway to this sweet fruit of intimacy with God, which is what wisdom is, which for us might mean less speaking and more listening. Less posting, more praying. Less reacting and more reflecting. You've ever heard that wisdom of like when you're writing that email or that letter of resignation? And what do they say? Print it out. That's old school. This is how you know the advice is from a boomer. Print it out. Sorry, boomers. I love you. We love you. Print it out. Put it in a drawer. Come back to it a few days later. You read it. And you're like, I don't feel that way anymore, right? I don't need to resign. I don't need to send this email to this person. I got it out of my system. I let it sit for a few days. Now, sometimes you pull that email out and you're like, I actually feel more angry now than when I wrote it. So I'm going to add to it and then send it. But how rare is that, really? When we shema, when we listen, when we hear, when we trust, and yes, even when we obey the words of others, the life-giving word of God, we tap into this well of wisdom. We're formed. We become steeped in humility. We are able to bend a knee. And when you're able to bend a knee to the right people that you can trust, who are good and wise and merciful and gracious and loving, you learn how to forgive. You learn how to listen and hear. You learn how to apologize. You learn how to get out of your own way. You ever felt that way? Like, if I can just get out of my own way, this thing might go well. We all know these rules of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God, right? That's how we say it. He didn't actually write, stay in love with God. That's not actually what he wrote down. What he wrote down was, attend to the ordinances of God. Christianity is a lifelong attending to the ordinances of God. Every Sunday morning, every prayer, every small group, every act of service, every mission trip, every difficult conversation that you have to have in the name of love, God is shaping us in those things. And the question for us this morning, I think the question of the wisdom series, as we've gleaned from these different books over these past 4 weeks, is this. Are we shapeable? Are we teachable? Are we coachable? A long time ago, one of the desert fathers was asked how he learned wisdom. How have you learned wisdom? This was his response. I have often regretted my speech. I have never regretted my silence. Sometimes wisdom sounds like waiting, listening, praying, and then speaking. It takes time. Jesus himself takes his time. He takes some very long roads throughout the scripture. We know that it even took him time, that he had to grow and develop and mature. Luke 2 tells us that as a child, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew. He developed. He was probably teachable. He is often in his father's house praying. And then he taught. And yes, of course he used his words, but more so than that, he embodied his words. He didn't just talk about healing and inviting the stranger. He actually did those things, right? The word of God became flesh, became embodied, became incarnate, and dwelt among us. Years ago, somebody asked Eugene Peterson, the guy who interpreted the message. He was a New England pastor. One of our young adults years ago was actually baptized by him. He was her pastor growing up, and it was really cool. She called him Gene. So now I call him Gene as if I knew him. RIP, he passed away pretty recently. A saint of the church, wrote a ton of books that have formed pastors over many generations. Didn't keep hardly any of the money of the number one selling translation of scripture in history. And they asked him, what have you learned in pastoral ministry? All these years in the same small Presbyterian church, what have you learned? This is what he said. I've learned that there are no shortcuts to becoming mature in Christ. I've learned there are no shortcuts to becoming mature in Christ, only daily faithfulness. And that embodies the Proverbs, the wisdom of the Proverbs. No spectacular moments, just ordinary wisdom, listening, learning, speaking carefully, planning faithfully, trusting God again and again and again. This process is what many wise theologians, including Peterson, is later going to refer to as a long obedience in the same direction. This is the title of one of his books on the Psalms of Ascension. It's one of my favorite books of his, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I learned a great lesson in that hotel room. Am I hurting somebody else with my words? I picked up a piece of wisdom. I apologized to my teacher the next day. We get back from the field trip and we're in class, and I asked to see her after class, which feels backwards. And I apologized again. And because she was kind and a good person, she accepted my apology, but it was never the same. Our relationship was never the same. Some lessons we have to learn the hard way. You have to learn when you're 17 years old and acting like an idiot with your friends or the people you want to be your friends. But other lessons we can glean from the wisdom of the people that we trust if we're willing to listen. If we're willing to hear. And we can also glean them from the words of God, which includes the Proverbs and the Word of God with a capital W, who is Jesus. We can look to Jesus, the model of Jesus. We can sit at the feet of Jesus and steep ourselves in his humility and his wisdom. May we have ears to listen and to hear and to obey. May we have ears to Shema. Amen.